My friends, in Christ's grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, our risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I'd like to share with you again a part of the epistle reading from the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, as we remember this weekend all of those who gave their lives in the fight to defend our freedoms, we are constantly amazed, or I am constantly amazed, that there are people who are willing to make such huge and noble sacrifices. People who are so considerate of us that they would yield their own privileges and sometimes even their own lives to defend us and the liberties that we cherish. And that is just amazing to me. This past week I read an article by a military wife that was titled, "Stop Saying That We Knew What We Were Getting Into." And her point is well taken. It's not easy being a soldier or a soldier's spouse. The military life means sacrifice, distance and deployment, loneliness, fear, missing the one you love. It could mean life-changing injuries. It could mean that a spouse effectively becomes a single parent. And then, of course, biggest of all, it can mean death and widowhood and a life that is totally upended. And here is the point that that military wife was making, that when a soldier or a soldier's spouse needs to vent about how hard all of that is, there are some who will say very dismissively, "Well, you knew what you were getting into." That's not helpful, because it is so dismissive of the things, all those deep feelings that they're having, and it makes it sound like you don't appreciate the sacrifice, or that you believe that, well, because you knew what you were getting into, you have lost the right to let off a little steam once in a while. And it's no wonder the wife titled her little article, "Stop Saying We Knew What We Were Getting Into." But I would propose on this Memorial Day that there really is a proper way that we can use that sentiment. They knew what they were getting into. And that is to use those words as an expression of respectful admiration. To stand at the graves of our fallen heroes and to say of them, they knew what they were getting into, and yet they did it anyway. For our nation, for us, for our freedom. And that just amazes me. That a soldier would sign on the dotted line, knowing that their service could mean tremendous hardship and even death, and yet they sign anyway, knowing what they're getting into. How do we ever say thank you? Except to live our lives the very best that we can in selfless service to others as a reflection of the way that they served us, and then to use our voice and our vote to uphold the freedoms for which they fought and died. Well, as Christians, we have also signed on the dotted line that enlists us as soldiers of the cross and as members of the militant church here on earth. We are a church at war. As St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's war, and every Christian is marked with a target on his or her back as the devil prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. And this great spiritual battle against Christ and against his church manifests in many ways in this world. It's your friends encouraging you to do what you know is offensive to God and poking fun at you if you don't go along. It's the college professor mocking those who believe such hackneyed things as creation and resurrection and blood atonement. And it's the forces of the culture that punish and ostracize those who would dare to speak up for God on issues of sexuality and marriage and family and morality and life issues. But these cosmic powers that are arrayed against the church are not just external, because Satan prowls also from within the church. It's the preacher who encourages conformity to cultural values and then twists the scriptures to support their position. It's the clergy who teaches human rules as though they are the command of God. It's the worship leader who preaches a feel-good, therapeutic message of self-improvement and scarcely ever mentions offensive things like sin and the cross of Jesus. It's the church leader who falls prey to Satan and lets you down by his failures. And it's all designed to destroy faith in Christ and the church of Christ. And then, of course, sometimes Satan's prowling rises to the level of outright brutal persecution, such as the merciless attacks that our Christian brothers and sisters are facing in Nigeria from Boko Haram, that militant Islamist group that has waged a campaign of death and devastation against Christians. It's the most virulent form of warfare against Christ and against his church. But this is what we are called to. This is what we signed up for as Christian soldiers. Listen again to St. Peter in the fourth chapter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. So, it's warfare. But how do we fight back as Christians in this war for our immortal souls? Well, let's just take it verse by verse from our reading today from the fifth chapter, starting at verse 6. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. We fight by being humble. And I know that sounds counterintuitive. What army ever won by being humbled? But this is precisely how we win, not by striking back, but by turning the other cheek, in the confidence that even if the enemy were to kill the body, in the end God will vindicate his people just as surely as he vindicated his own Son in the resurrection. And so we stay humble, knowing that the one who died for us and rose for our salvation has made us heirs of his eternal kingdom, and that at the proper time, he will exalt us to victory. And then verse 7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We fight this war by commending our cares to the Lord, because after all, he cared so much for us that he gave even his life into death for us. On the cross, he himself cast his cares into the hands of his Father. He said, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," and then he yielded to the enemy. And we fight the same way, knowing that even if our flesh were to be killed, that God cares for us so much that in Christ he will turn every care and sorrow of ours into dancing and songs of eternal victory. Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We fight by keeping watch over our souls and by making ourselves as familiar as we can with the enemy's battle plan. Be watchful. And in this battle, we have a huge advantage because the Scriptures have revealed to us all of the ways and the tactics of our enemy. And the more we know the Word of God, the more aware we are of Satan's prowling and the more prepared we are to counter his attacks. We fight by being watchful. And then verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith. We fight by resisting, and we resist by continually strengthening our primary defense, which is the shield of our Christian faith. Satan is powerless against the faith that clings to Christ. Because as Paul said in Romans, God has justified us through Christ, whom he gave up for us on the cross, and therefore there is now no condemnation. Satan can rail against us all he wants. He can even take our lives. But we are secure in Christ, firm in faith. And then, to drive the whole thing home, Peter goes on in verse 10, and he says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And that's a reiteration of the promise we heard just a little bit earlier, that God will exalt those who humbly receive Christ and his blood-bought redemption. And after a little while, after you have carried your crosses, he will restore you and establish you forever as a citizen of his kingdom. Now, we knew what we were getting into. We knew this would be a fight, and that there would be a cost. But you see, we also know who wins this war. We know who gets the victory. So I encourage you, Christian soldiers, fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. To Christ, our risen and ascended Lord, be dominion forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, strengthen my faith that I may stand firm. Forgive my sins so that I may be clean in your righteousness. Make me brave so that I can fight the spiritual battles in my life and in our world. Give me your wisdom and your discernment so that I will not be caught off guard. With you, O Lord, I know I will win, because in truth you have already won. In Jesus' powerful name, before which every knee shall bow. Amen and amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.